To start with, I was thinking of a time in my life about, over 30 years ago, my brother and I took an ocean kayaking trip. There was a guide and two other guys and my brother and I when we were about 50 miles north of Vancouver Island off the west coast of Canada, and we were there for about a week. It was just us, and every day we would head out in the kayak, you know, in the ocean, 10 or 15 miles a day, so it's kind of wet, and you're getting a little salty, all that stuff. We'd find an island to camp on, and so we would, you know, set up our camp, have lunch, and then we would go hiking through the woods for a couple, 3 hours, so, you know, kind of sweaty, dirty, all that stuff. We'd get back to camp, and we'd make a big fire, because we're guys, we had to make a big fire. And we'd have supper, and, you know, the smoke always blows on you, right, if you're at the campfire. So you can picture that for 7 days, you know, water, wet, hiking, dirty, sweaty, smoke. We were unclean after a week, to say the least. And in a similar way, but a more serious way, we're going to look at a leper who has been healed and how he is unclean and he's going to be made clean through this process that God provides for us in Leviticus 14. So let's jump in here, and hopefully you got a handout with the outline there in front of you. And just to kind of review here on Leviticus, you know, the theme is holiness, right? How to live really in the presence of a holy God, and the author is Moses. And for our class, we've divided this into five sections, and the first one was, you know, the sacrificial system, right? All the offerings and those sorts of things. Then the second division is the consecration of the priest, right? How to set them apart and make them priest. And then we find ourselves in this third section, which is chapters 11 through 15. And it's really the prescriptions for cleanness and purity. And we've gone through dietary laws, you know, what's a clean and unclean animal, and the purification after childbirth, the diagnosis and requirements of the skin abnormalities is where we've been the last couple times we've been together. And so 14, we pick up on the regulations for the cleansing rituals. And so that's where we'll be, you know, this morning. So thinking of that, you know, thinking of Leviticus, we've kind of defined, you know, that unclean doesn't always mean sinful, right? It can mean contaminated or diseased. So kind of have that in your mind. And then clean refers to maybe a normal, healthy state, not necessarily, you know, a sinful state. So that's kind of our definition of clean and unclean here in this section of Leviticus. So thinking about, I just wanted to give us a little background before we get going on maybe the life of a leper, you know, in the Old Testament. We know it was bad, but in ancient times, you know, leprosy was a catch-all term for any disease that affected the skin. We've kind of gone over that the last couple times. So it means it's possible, you know, that individuals associated with leprosy in the Bible had different kind of skin diseases, you know, from what we know as leprosy today. But those who were perceived to have leprosy were considered, you know, the lowest in society. You know, leprosy looked like death. It was a disease that ate away at your skin. You know, it damaged the nerves. So a lot of times lepers would maybe lose a limb or fingers, you know, with fire or sharp objects. It's, you know, a horrible way of life. And they not only looked like death, but they smelled like death. You know, their clothes, they were unclean the whole time. And they even sounded like death. It was, you know, said that even their voice, their vocal cords was affected by leprosy. So their voice was, you know, kind of this rattling, raspy voice. So it was a bad way to live, right? And last week, we went through Leviticus 13, and verses 45 through 46 tells us that lepers were required to do seven things. They had to wear torn clothes. They had to leave their hair undone. And it said cover their mustache, which is really kind of wear a mask. Cry unclean when someone approached them. They had to live alone, and they had to live outside the camp, and they were cut off from worship and fellowship, you know, with those inside the camp. So they lived in this perpetual state of mourning and shame, if you will. And so we can understand really why, you know, the Bible uses leprosy as a picture of sin. Sin, like leprosy, starts small, but it can overtake us and eventually lead to death unless God acts on our behalf. So last week, I was kind of impressed with Mark's flowchart. He had several decisions that the priest had to make, right? There was, if it's this color, if it's been this long, and is it the skin, is it the hair? You know, and there was this big, and I really was impressed, Mark. I'm an engineer by trade, so I see that kind of stuff. So I thought, in keeping keeping with that, I'm going to make a flow chart for this week, and I think you'll be happier. It's that. And, you know, it's maybe a little bit funny, but, you know, it's that's the point of this verse. It's a sequence. It's not a flow chart. There's a sequence and a process where God's bringing people outside the camp, inside the camp, right? And you can see in the middle, the important part there is God's the one who heals and provides that way for us to be in the camp. You know, and spiritually, you can think of the same thing. We all start outside the camp unless God rescues us and brings us inside the camp to fellowship with him. So also in Leviticus 14, we're going to see some other things that we've already learned. We're going to see some repeats of the things we've learned, right? There's all the sacrifices that we've studied. Those are going to be done. And we're going to see a priest doing his duty. And then we're going to see, you know, Leviticus 13 is the way that the priest determines if a person is clean from leprosy. So kind of a putting everything into action, really, that we learned, except for the cleanness after childbirth. That's the only one we're not covering in this passage. So with that, let's go to, here's the outline, and the theme for this message is God establishes in his law a process for a healed leper to be ceremonially clean. And so we're going to look at three responses of a healed leper. So I'll kind of keep showing this outline as we go, but there's the overall picture of where we're going to go. The verses 1 through 9 is the ceremony and two baths, and then offerings in 10 through 32. And then we're going to jump to the New Testament for our last response in Luke 17. But I'll keep showing this as we go through the message here. So response number one. So if you're in, hopefully you're in Leviticus 14, 1 through 32, and we'll just start there. So let me read verse 1 and part of 2 for us. So, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. So just some important things to think about. You know, this is the Lord speaking. You know, a lot of Leviticus, like we've said, is the Lord speaking and Moses is writing it down. So we have direct, you know, revelation from God here. This is, you know, God speaking to us. And this ceremony does not heal the leper. He's already been healed. So kind of have that as the groundwork here. So let's move on to the B part of your outline there, examination by the priest. And I'll just read part of 2 and 3 here. So now he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out to the outside of the camp. Thus the priest shall look. So again, thinking about, you know, the life of the leper, he was outside the camp. So, you know, when it was determined that perhaps the leper was healed, there had to be arrangements made for the priest to come back outside the camp and do this examination. And the examination was according to Leviticus 13 that we've just studied. And the priest was the one who would make this determination, you know, if the leper was unclean or clean. You know, this wasn't a self-declaration of being healed, you know, but it had to be recognized by a priest. I thought it's kind of funny. It's like, you know, now when you're with a friend and you sneeze or you cough and somebody, you know, looks at you and you say, oh, it's just allergies. This is a whole more serious than that, right? We don't get to determine if we're the one that's clean or not. It has to be a priest. So let's move on. So this is the C part of your outline. The priest orders the elements. So 3 and 4. And if the infection of leprosy has been healed in the leper, then the priest shall give orders to take 2 live clean birds and cedar wood and a scarlet string and hyssop for the one who is to be cleansed. So the leper's been declared clean. You know, first of all, just think about probably the joy the person has when the priest declared that they were clean, right? That's everything. His life is going to change. He knew, you know, he could be restored to the community. He could come back and be in the camp. You know, all these good things were about to happen to him. But now the ritual begins with the priest's order. So first of all, 2 live clean birds. And the list of unclean birds is in Leviticus 11. So, you know, something that's not on the list is a clean bird. And usually it's, you know, the turtle doves or pigeons. We'll see that later on in this passage. But they were easy to get, right? These things that are in this list are easy to get for someone who's outside the camp and probably doesn't have means that the person inside the camp has. So moving on. So 2 live clean birds. And then cedar wood. You know, this is a durable wood, it's resistant to decay. The scarlet string, commentators think this was, you know, yarn, like the material that was used, you know, in the making of the curtains, you know, of the tabernacle. And the scarlet, you know, might have signified a return to color of the leper, because we know that their skin was white. In Exodus 4:6, know, when Moses was getting the signs from God to show Egypt that he was, well, to show his people and Egypt that he was from God, one of them was he put his hand in, pull it out, and it's leprous. Go back, and it's not. And it says in that passage that his skin was white like snow. And then also in Numbers 12:10, Miriam was struck with leprosy, and her skin was as white as snow. So that's why maybe this is a return to color, if you will. And the fourth thing, the hyssop branches, and this is, you know, the same plant that was used in, you know, the Passover in Exodus 12. So we've kind of seen, you know, these things before, and we're familiar with these. So at this point, you know, we're still outside the camp and likely, you know, close to maybe a community of lepers because they're supposed to live alone, but if you study, they did kind of collect up, you know, as a community. So maybe there's a little community of lepers as well, and they're the only ones that are probably really going to witness this ceremony. So let's move on in our outline to the priest orders the ceremony of the two birds. So I'll read verse 5 here for us. The priest shall also give orders to slay the one bird in an earthenware vessel over running water. So think about this. You know, one bird is killed, and it's over, you know, like an earthenware cup, like kind of that little picture to start with, something kind of, you know, that's small like this. And the water, it says running water, but literally this is, you know, talking about fresh water. The idea, you know, that it comes from a source that's pure and clean. So then the blood, you know, of the bird would mix with the water. So let's move on in our passage to verse 6. So as for the live bird, he shall take it together with the cedar wood and the scarlet string and the hyssop and shall dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was slain over the running water. So let's take that apart. So think about this. So you've already got the one bird that's been killed and its blood is mixed with the water in the bowl. And then you have a stick, a branch, and a bird. Tie those together with the scarlet string, and probably the tail feathers of the bird are down, so you can take that and dip it into this bowl that has blood and water. It's probably one way that it could have happened, and it seems practical. I'm an engineer, so that's the practical way you probably would think that this would happen. So it's, you know, it's all fastened together. So the next verse 7 here, he shall then sprinkle 7 times the one who is to be cleansed from leprosy and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the live bird go free over the open field. So next, you know, the priest holds the cedar stick with the bird and the hyssop, and he, you know, sprinkles 7 times. And we know in the Bible, 7 is usually completeness, right? It's the idea. So it's going to signify a complete purification. And some examples of this, you know, when Naaman was stricken with leprosy, he was told to wash 7 times in the Jordan in 2 Kings chapter 5. So after he does this sprinkling, you know, the priest releases, you know, the blood-stained live bird to go free. So this bird, you know, in a sense could be called like the scape bird, right? We're going to study the scapegoat in a couple of chapters later, but you get the idea, you know, it's in place of. So the question is, you know, I'm thinking, so what does this ceremony mean? You know, what's the symbolism? And, you know, the text doesn't really tell us, but there are, you know, a lot of ideas, and some of these are kind of helpful. So I wanted to go through some of these kind of 3 ideas of what this ceremony could symbolize and what it could mean. So first of all, you know, one commentator just looks kind of right now at in the context of the passage, looks at the life of the leper and suggests that, you know, the live bird gave its life as a symbol of and in place of the leper. The other bird symbolized the former leper's newfound freedom to return to his place among the people and to the house of worship, you know, from the places he had been excluded. So, you know, just looking at the life of the leper, he's, you know, left this leprous life behind. Now he's going back inside the camp. Then another commentator, his name is Amadi, says that this is a reminder for Israel looking back to their deliverance from Egypt. Says God delivered his people out of the tomb of Egypt through blood, which is the Passover, and the water, you know, the Red Sea, and brought them to his life-giving presence at Sinai to make them a kingdom of priests. A cleansed leper followed this same Exodus movement from the place of death outside the camp to life with God in Israel's camp after being sprinkled with blood and oil and washed from water. So that's kind of a, you know, an idea of looking back for Israel, what it might have meant for them. And then finally, a third commentator is going to look forward, and his name is Guzik, and he sees this ceremony as looking forward to the work of Jesus. And he says, In a remarkable way, this unusual ritual points to the future work of the Messiah who would cleanse those stained with the leprosy of sin. And so just kind of think about everything that goes on in this ceremony. You know, Jesus, think about the ceremony and then think about the life of Jesus here. So Jesus was sacrificed outside the camp. Jesus was a man from heaven. So think of, you know, a bird comes from the heavens, right? And Jesus remained cleansed and holy even in his death, becoming sin without becoming a sinner. So he remained holy and clean the whole time, you know, and there were these two unclean birds in the process. So he's kind of, you know, going with that picture. And then Jesus came by water and blood in 1 John 5, and he died in association with blood and water in John 19. And Jesus died in association with scarlet cloth. He died in association with wood. He died in association with hyssop. And Jesus lived bearing the marks of his death. And then Jesus ascended to heaven out of human sight. So there's a sense in which, you know, the living bird set free points to the resurrected Jesus, but it also points to the one healed and free from the leprosy, including the leprosy of sin. So they are resurrected and free in the resurrected Jesus Christ. So that's the end of his quote. That was a lot that, but you can kind of see that picture, right? If you think about, just think about the gospel, right? Jesus is perfect. He's God. He comes from heaven. He lives among us. You know, he proclaims, you know, the kingdom of God is here. He performs many signs, but he sacrifices himself, right? He dies, so he spills his blood, and that blood brings purification for us, if you will, you know, a new heart, that, you know, the water symbolizing a new life, a pure life that we get. And he went back to heaven being resurrected, but we're still here and we're still affected by that life and that process, just like the leper. You know, the bird, one came down and died, one went away, the leper's still there. So that's kind of a picture of us and the gospel, if you will. So something to think about, just, you know, as you meditate on scripture, you can think about that. But let's move on. We got some more to go in this ceremony. So verse 8 is the first bath. This is kind of like me after that trip, I think, the first bath. Okay, so the one to be cleansed shall then wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and bathe in water and be clean. Now afterward, he may enter the camp, but he shall stay outside his tent for 7 days. So think about this. After the previous ceremony with the two birds, you know, the one to be cleansed, he's still outside. That process took place outside the camp. You know, and then he has this first bath where, you know, he washes his clothes and shaves off his hair, and then he bathes. And one commentator said, you know, practically this is a complete cleansing and removal of his former uncleanness and any remaining seed or relic of leprosy, which, you know, still is on him, will be removed. But spiritually, it's a reminder, you know, to put off the old lust and become a new man, kind of that idea in the Bible of putting off and putting on. So then the one who's cleansed can move back into the camp. So, you know, okay, now the scene has changed, right? He took the bath outside the camp, but now he's free to move inside the camp, but he has to live outside of his tent. So the idea here is that he needs to be in public view for 7 days. He can't just go hide. This is really maybe a practical thing so the camp can see that he's really cleaned and that he can come back into the community, you know, just for a, you know, assurance for them, right, that he's really been healed from leprosy. So, but he's got to live in public view for these 7 days. And then moving on to verse 9, this is the second bath. So it says, it will be on the 7th day that he shall shave off all his hair. He shall shave his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair. He shall then wash his clothes and bathe his body in water and be clean. So again, you know, on the 7th day, this total cleansing is performed again, but he's now inside the camp, and, you know, so that the former leper here has a sense that he's starting new, right? One commentator said this is kind of like he's being born again. You know, he's shaved off all his hair, he's cleaned everything as much as you can. It's a picture of being, you know, born again, maybe. So something to think about. And so that's really, you know, that first part of this participating in the ceremony, you know, of the birds and the two baths, right? So, and just in review, you know, this was his first response. You know, the first step was the examination by the priest outside the camp. And, you know, the priest ordered the elements in the ceremony and to be collected, and then he performs the ceremony of the two birds. Then this first bath, you know, happens outside the camp, followed by a move into the camp, but he has to live outside his tent. Then on the 7th day, He's inside the camp, but outside his tent, and he's cleansed again by another bath. So now we'll move on to the second response of a cleansed leper. And this one is going to be to bring offerings for atonement. And this is verses 10 through 32. And really, there's kind of two identical sections here. Verses 10 through 20 are the same as verses 21 through 32. The difference in that set of verses is kind of the provisions are made for a poor leper in the second set of verses. And, you know, the first set, I guess, is a not poor leper, right? So that's the only difference in the two passages. So I'm just going to kind of go through it once, but I'll point out the differences as we go, and you'll see they're pretty small. The process is the same. It's just the elements that are brought that are different. So, and it kind of makes sense. You know, you can suppose maybe a leper has been a leper for a long time, and they really don't have any means after being excluded and outside the camp, you know, and living really just a horrible life, right? They didn't have a way to do business and, you know, increase their wealth. So provision is made. So it's really, I think, a gracious act of God, right? He doesn't give us a command that we can't obey, and he makes this provision. So with that, let's go to the first outline point there. The offerings are brought. This is verse 10. Oh, and hopefully it's not confusing. I put the verses in the lower part of the passage that are the same as the verse I'm going to read, but maybe we'll work through that. But anyway, so verse 10. Now, on the eighth day, he is to take two male lambs without defect and a yearling ewe lamb without defect and 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering and one log of oil. So again, you know, now we're on the eighth day of this sequence, you know, this healed leper becoming ceremonially clean. And you just, the items there, you know, it's 3 lambs, 3/10, and then one log. So let's compare that. I'll just compare that to verses 21 and 22 here. So I'll go ahead and read those. So starting in verse 21, but if he is poor and his means are insufficient, then he is to take one male lamb for a guilt offering as a wave offering to make atonement for him, and 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil for grain, or a grain offering, and a log of oil, and 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons which are within his means. The one shall be a sin offering and the other a burnt offering. So there you can see the difference. You know, the poor leper brings 1 lamb and the 2 birds instead of the 3 lambs. And then he's going to bring 1/10 of the flour and oil instead of 3/10. And just to give you an idea, this one log of oil, it's about 1/2 pint is what I can figure out. And then the 3/10 of an ephah is anywhere between 5 to 20 pounds. So that's not a very precise, but at least it's not 100 pounds, right? You kind of get an idea. It's a decent amount of grain and oil. So there's the elements that are going to be brought for these offerings. So let's move to the next point here. The priest presents the cleansed leper, verse 11. And verse 11 says, "And the priest who pronounces him clean shall present the man to be cleansed and the aforesaid before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting." So right here, I think it's, okay. Think about the camp. You know, we've talked about this before, and hopefully in this picture you can get an idea. You know, you see the wilderness out here around the camp, and then on each side there's 3 tribes, right? And so the bottom here is really the east side of the camp. So that's where, as you go in from, you know, there's 3 tribes on every side, and then around, you know, the courtyard and the holy place and the most holy place, there's the Levites. Those are the little camps that are on 3 sides. And then on this east side or the bottom side, that's where Moses and Aaron were. So, and right above them in this picture, you can see a little gate there on that wall that's around the courtyard. And it's kind of like 3 little white panels there on that. Hopefully you can see that. But that's where we're at. So the story's going to move to there. So let me go back. So here we are. And this makes sense, right? This is the usual place for sacrifices. You know, this is where any sacrifice would have been done. So, you know, he's being restored, the leper's being restored to, you know, the normal flow of life. And that just shows this. And Matthew Henry said, you know, the Jews say that the leper stood outside the gate of the tabernacle and the priest within, and thus the ceremony was performed through the gate, signifying that he was now admitted with other Israelites to attend in the courts of the Lord's house again, and was as welcome as ever, though he had been a leper. So he's saying that it's kind of through the gate. You know, the leper's on one side, the gate's here, and the priest is over here. It's like he's handing things through the gate, if you will. So think again about this progression. You know, the ceremony of the two birds and that first bath outside the camp. 7 days inside the camp. Now we're at the doorway of the tent of meeting. So the healed leper is basically moved closer to God, if you will, each step of this process. You know, he's being restored, brought back in fellowship. And Matthew Henry said, "The mercies of God oblige us to present ourselves to him. When God has restored us to the liberty of ordinances again, after restraint by sickness, distance, or otherwise, we should take the first opportunity of testifying our respect to God and our affection to his sanctuary." So Matthew Henry's saying, run, run back to God, essentially is what he's saying. That's what the leper in this process is doing. He's going back to God. So let's move on to the next point here, guilt and wave offerings. This is verses 12 through 14, and they're the same as 24 and 25. So I'm going to read verse 12 here. So the offerings are brought. "Then the priest shall take the one male lamb and bring it for a guilt offering with a log of oil and present them as a wave offering before the Lord." So this is the first male lamb. They both, the regular leper and the poor leper, bring this lamb for the guilt offering. That's the same. And this offering is covered in Leviticus 5 and Leviticus 7. We've talked about this before. So it's the same process that's covered there. So I'll move on to verse 13. This is the lamb is slaughtered. So next he shall slaughter the male lamb in the place where they slaughtered the sin offering and the burnt offering at the place of the sanctuary. For the guilt offering, like the sin offering, belongs to the priest. It is most holy. So the meat from the guilt offering here belonged to the priest, not the healed leper. And that's the way the guilt offering worked. So usual guilt offering here. But we're going to kind of depart from the guilt offering the rest of the way down. So this is kind of an unusual ceremony we're going to go through here. So verse 14, the blood is going to be from head to toe. "So the priest shall then take some of the blood of the guilt offering, and the priest shall put it on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot." So this is a departure, from the usual guilt offering. It's the same thing that was done, in the consecration of the priest back in Leviticus 8. So, but it's now being done to this healed leper. So that should get our attention, right? It's unusual. And the commentator says, "The blood on the right ear said this one should hear God first. The blood on the right thumb said this one should put his hand to do God's will first. And the blood on the big toe of the right foot said this one should follow God's word, God's path first." So a cleansed leper had a special calling and a special anointing, just as the priest did. He's not a priest, but he has this special anointing. And this ritual affirmed and declared the radical change of life that had happened to the restored leper. He was a new person, born again, as it were, and his life belonged to God in a special way. So it's kind of Pastor Tom talking about that radical change this morning, right? There's a radical change that has happened in this healed leper's life. So let's move on to the next point here. The oil is applied, and this is verses 15 through 18, and parallel down in 26 through 29. So the oil is sprinkled, verse 15. "The priest shall also take some of the log of oil and pour it in his left palm. The priest shall then dip his right-hand finger into the oil, that is in his left palm, and with his finger sprinkle some of the oil 7 times before the Lord." So think about this. After the application of the blood, the priest sprinkles some of this oil 7 times, before the Lord. Not on the leper, but, towards the Lord, probably towards the tabernacle, the holy place, and the most holy place. So it's, again, the idea of completeness, this complete restoration before the Lord. And then verse 17, it says, "Of the remaining oil which is in his palm, the priest shall put some on the right earlobe of the one to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on the blood of the guilt offering." So more departure from the guilt offering here, right? After the priest has sprinkled the oil, the next application was to the restored lepers, his right ear, his thumb, and his big toe again. And in Scripture, we know oil is really symbolic of the Holy Spirit, right? It means the Holy Spirit is present. And we see this lots of times in Zechariah 4, 1 Samuel 16, Acts 10, just a few of many examples. And again, a commentator says, "Significantly, the oil was applied on the blood of the trespass offering. The anointing of the Holy Spirit could not come unless it was upon the work of the blood sacrifice. So the order is important there, right? The blood has to be spilled first, then the oil comes. You know, for us, the sacrifice of Christ is first, then the Holy Spirit comes to us, right? There's an order that matters here. And so this is, you know, a powerful way of saying that all the healed leper does going forward should really be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Just another unusual departure from that guilt offering, but for the leper, you know, a special anointing that happened here. So let's move on to verse 18, and this is going to be his head is anointed also. So verse 18, while the rest of the oil that is in the priest's palm, he shall put on the head of the one to be cleansed. So the priest shall make atonement on his behalf before the Lord. So the priest takes the remaining oil and anoints, you know, this restored leper really the same way that a priest or a king would be anointed, right? So this act is kind of saying in some sense that God regards this restored leper as a king and a priest, you know, not actually, but, you know, there's some sense of that going on here. And this is really a dramatic reversal of life, right? Think about this. You know, the leper was in, just a week ago, well, 8 days ago, he was in the lowest position he could possibly be in, right? He was outside the camp. He was, you know, covered in disease, unclean. Now he's in the presence of God, and he's been anointed even more than a priest has. It's, you know, this dramatic reversal. So we need to take notice of that. And I just thought about, you know, God's really, that's the business of God, right, is these dramatic reversals. You can look at Moses. We studied him, right? He was a shepherd in the desert, you know, probably thought his life was, that was what it was going to be. And then God takes him, and he becomes the deliverer of God's people. And look at, you know, Esther. She's, you know, an orphan, you know, from a conquered country, and God raises her up to be, you know, the queen of the most powerful nation at her time. So a dramatic reversal. And really, that's the same thing that happens to all of us who are Christians, right? We have a dramatic reversal. You know, we're basically enemies of God outside the camp. You know, Christ works. We repent and believe, and then we're brought inside the camp, you know, really a child of God, right? You are an enemy of God, now you're a child of God. So how much more dramatic can your life be changed than that way? So just another good picture in this passage of our spiritual life. But let's move on. I guess the last few verses here in this part are the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the grain offering. So first, let's look at the sin offering. And it says in verse 19, the priest shall next offer the sin offering and make atonement for the one to be cleansed from his uncleanness. Then afterward, he shall slaughter the burnt offering. So this is, you know, if you're keeping track, this is the second of three lambs that was slaughtered for the sin offering for the leper of means. And then the poor leper, it's going to be the first of the two birds that he brought is going to be slaughtered for this sin offering. And, you know, the restored offer, the idea is that the restored leper has his sins are atoned for, right? They're paid for. So he was formerly not in right standing with God, but now he is through this offering. And so let's move on here. Let's cover these last things pretty quickly. The burnt offering and the grain offering, this is 19 through 20. So the priest shall offer up the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him, and he will be clean. So third lamb, you know, for the leper of means, and the second bird for the poor leper, and the burnt offering is described in Leviticus 1 and Leviticus 6, which we, you know, talked about some weeks ago. And the priest offered the grain offering, which is also described in, you know, Leviticus 2 and Leviticus 6 as well. And then, you know, the burnt offering and the grain offering symbolized the restored leper's, you know, renewed dedication and devotion to God. So after these offerings, the leper is declared clean. And again, you just think about if you were that person, how, you know, much joy you would have and how unbelievable things have gone for you the last 8 days, right? You were outside, you're in the best possible place, and God did all this through this ceremony. So an unbelievable, you know, reversal for you. So this, and then verse 32 tells us that the law of cleansing from leprosy, this is kind of the closing of this section. It says, this is the law for him in whom there is an infection of leprosy, whose means are limited for his cleansing. So that's kind of the closing of this passage of the ceremonial cleansing of the leper. So, you know, what does all this mean? So We've talked about that, you know, through these responses. Like the first response, you know, is the ceremony of the two birds and the two baths. And then this response, you know, the healed leper was to bring offerings for atonement. You know, we saw the offerings were brought, you know, even provisions are made for the leper that was poor. The priest presented the cleansed leper, the guilt offering was made, and the blood applied, oil was then applied, and finally the sin offering, burnt offering, and grain offerings were performed, you know, to bring full restoration. So these first two responses, you know, of the healed leper form this, you know, unique restoration process. And it's interesting, this is only recorded as really happening one time in the Old Testament. And that is with Miriam in Numbers 12, where, you know, God struck her with leprosy for her sin. And then, you know, she has to go wait 7 days and they go through this process. But in the New Testament, we see Jesus encountering a leper, and it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's all recorded. And Jesus heals him and says, go show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing. So the restoration process, you know, happened in this case as well. We can think that they went to the priest and did this process. But in Luke 17, which is where we're going to go for our third division, our third response, we see Jesus encounter 10 lepers. And this encounter really is going to give us this response of giving glory to God. So if you'll turn to Luke 17, and we'll go through this encounter, which is quite instructive, I think. So let me read for us. Luke 17, verse 11 through 14. It says, while he was on the way, this is Jesus, while Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. So I just thought about when Tom was preaching this morning, he's preaching about this, right? This is this response that we're going to have. So have that in your head, and then let's go through this passage. So just think about this. You know, Jesus is on the way to Galilee, enters a village, you know, and outside the village, there's this community of 10 leprous men. And, it's, you know, since they mentioned that one's a Samaritan, probably some of the others weren't. So it's kind of this common problem probably had brought these guys together to be in this community. And, you know, in Jesus' time, you know, many lepers were really just beggars on the side of the road, and they faced rejection from everyone. And in Jesus' culture, it was forbidden for rabbis to touch people who were considered unclean. You know, so to many people, it would have been really shocking that, you know, someone of Jesus', you know, standing would even talk to these people. And I read one commentator said a leper had to be at least 6 feet away from a person. And when the wind was blowing, they had to be 150 feet away from a person. So it's shocking that Jesus, you know, encounters these people. But while they are still lepers, Jesus tells them to go to the priest. And they literally step out in faith and they're healed. I mean, amazing, right? So far, so good. Let's look at the next division. One leper returns, 15 through 19. So I'll read verse 15 here. So now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. So here's the point of all this, right? Of studying these laws and ceremonies and God's word. You know, it's not to check the box. And this guy gets it. So only one returns, and he's the unlikely one, right? He's a Samaritan. But it says he's loud in his praise. He's all in. And Spurgeon said, all 10 were willing to do a religious ceremony, you know, that is, go to the priest. Only one was filled with true praise and thanksgiving. External religious exercises are easy enough and common enough, but the internal matter, the drawing out of the heart in thankful love, how scarce a thing that is. 9 obey ritual where 1 praises the Lord. And Jesus, you know, asked the question, where are the other 9? He expected all of them to come back, right? That's what they should have done. And so, you know, one commentator says this question was asked, and it proves the value that Jesus sets upon, you know, our service of praise to him. And he said, you know, one wonders how many times Jesus has asked that question of us. You know, why didn't we return with some praise for something Jesus had done for us? So very convicting question, if you will. But Jesus said to the one who returned, your faith has made you well. So there was an extra healing for this leper. You know, Jesus likely meant that God's work within this man's heart is what he's talking about here, right? The other nine lepers had healed bodies but sick hearts. The one who returned had a healed body and a healed heart. You know, and that's the point, right? 1 Samuel 6 that Tom mentioned this morning, you know, God looks at the heart. And, you know, a changed heart is what he desires from all of us. So, you know, the purpose of healings and ceremonies is to bring glory to God. So let's review these three responses. So we've looked at, you know, the ceremony and the two baths. That was our first response, the bringing of the offerings for atonement. And then finally, this third response, which is kind of wraps it all up, is to give glory to God. So, you know, how do we take what we've studied here and apply it to our lives? So I thought about this. So next, we're going to have three, this is our application of this passage, three responses of a spiritual leper, which is all of us, right? We all start life this way. We've all sinned, right? Sin, like I said, is like leprosy. It starts small, overtakes us, and leads to death unless God acts and we respond to him. So the first point, our response should be to repent and believe. That's the gospel, right? We saw it in this passage. God comes from heaven. He lives a sinless life. He tells us of the kingdom of God. He performed many miracles to fulfill prophecies, and then he offered himself as a sacrifice in the place of all who would believe in him. And when we repent and believe in that, we get the benefit, right? It's a divine swap of he takes our sin and we get his righteousness. And that's the gospel. If you will repent and believe, you will be saved. So that's the first response. And it's a command. It's not a suggestion, right? Jesus tells us in the gospel to repent and believe. And so the second response we should have is to offer ourselves as a sacrifice to God and our complete self. This is Romans 12, 1 through 2, right? So Romans 12, 1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. So that's, you know, our body, that's all that we are. Kind of everything that people see, you maybe can think of the way you live and move with people, it should glorify God. But then he goes further in verse 2. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So now it's our mind. So the first part was our body. Now it's our mind. So it's everything. And, you know, we probably have to unlearn some worldly wisdom and learn godly wisdom. And, you know, and how do we do that? It's through the application of God's word, you know, through the Holy Spirit working in our lives. So the question is, you know, how are you doing in your meditation and thinking on God's word and then applying it to your life? And then finally, the third response, ours should be the same as the leper in Luke 17, give glory to God. So you remember, you know, nine of them took that physical healing and they left. They probably just went on to their normal way of life, back to business, back inside the camp, if you will. But only one of them returned. You know, think about the order here. They went and did the religious stuff, but one of them returned. His heart was changed, and then he went and did what was required. He did it because he loved God. The other ones did it because they got something from God. So a big difference. So just for each of us, you know, may we respond like the one leper and give glory to God for all that he has done for us. So I'm going to close this up in prayer, and I'm just going to read the first four verses of Psalm 65 to close this up. So pray with me. Praise awaits you, our God in Zion. To you, our vows will be fulfilled. You who answer prayer, to all people will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Blessed are those who choose that you choose to bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. And Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you teach us how you are a rescuer, Lord, through Christ. And we thank you for that. And help us, anyone here who has not repented and believed, that maybe today would be the day of salvation for them. And for all of us, help us to just offer our whole lives to you and give you the glory for all you've done. And we just praise you and thank you. In Christ's name, amen.